Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Morning, Washington, D.C. What up, everybody? Time to get up and Adam with me here on a Saturday morning. I'm Adam Epstein, and this is AWOD Radio here live and local on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app in Richmond. You can catch us streaming 9:10 a.m. 105.1 FM here on a Saturday, October 11th. Back after my trip to Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC tip-off. And I don't think I'll be able to get into that today, but I'll say college basketball season is right around the corner. And I enjoyed the conversations I had with almost every single head coach in the ACC. The only two I didn't get, the big two, Hubert there at UNC, and John Shire at Duke. But pretty much every other coach sat down with me, including former NBA player Damon Stoudemire, who I thought was kind of the most interesting. He's entering his third season at Georgia Tech. So we're about 3 weeks away from college basketball. Like I told you, this is my favorite month because of everything that's going on. How about October baseball last night, right? Took 15 innings for Seattle to get the win. You've got NBA around the corner. LeBron James not going to be ready for the start of this season. College football's heating up, and the NFL. And for the NFL, the Washington Commanders do not play Sunday because their next game will be Monday night. Monday night football against the Chicago Bears. And, you know, let me just say, I'm going to absolutely take this opportunity with my team playing Monday to watch Red Zone and the NFL and all things football all day on my couch on Sunday, tracking my fantasy, placing some live bets, just relaxing because the game that matters most for me is not until Monday night. And off of a loss, I felt like that would have been a long wait. But after a win, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like still celebrating. Me and my friend group, we're still celebrating our first road win of the season, plus the Eagles lost Thursday. I mean, I can wait until Monday night. I love what has taken place in the last 7 days. So let's start with the NFC East because the Giants got that huge win on Thursday Night Football, and it seems like everybody I heard is giving way, way, way too much credit to the New York Giants in that game. Like, so much to the point that I'm kind of frustrated and I'm taking shots at the Giants. I still think he's Jackson Fart just because he beat a beat-up Eagles team. From my perspective, and I watched the entire game on Thursday night, that game spoke volumes about Philadelphia, and all of their frustrations behind the scenes came to light, and they were without a couple of top defensive stars. And that's why I really wasn't impressed with the Giants. Like, Jackson Dart, he's narrowly escaping huge hits. I mean, just barely getting out of those. Is he going to last for the entire season? I doubt it. He's diving head first, getting popped. He had to go to the concussion protocol in that game. And his passes. Come on now. Let's not act like these are Jackson darts. These are Jackson lollipop passes. He's kind of lobbing it up downfield. All right, he's giving his receiver a chance to make a play on it. And he did that game. I don't think it's going to keep happening. And I kind of see why, as a team, they made 5 turnovers the week before and blew a lead to the New Orleans Saints. I'm not going crazy about the Giants at all. All right. I just don't think he's going to be able to last a full season in this league playing that way. Because he got away from the Eagles. and he's looked okay. He's not fast enough, I think, or quick enough in my mind to keep escaping and to not take a big hit that will end up knocking him out. All right, he deserves a little bit of credit because he won without Malik Nabers and good completion percentage of 17 for 25, but I'm not going crazy about 195 yards. I was not blown away by the performance at all. I was more shocked at how bad the Eagles were playing. And to me, the bigger story of Thursday night was how embarrassing that was for the National Football League that they didn't get rid of the tush push when they had a chance. Because we all had to watch the Eagles basically five straight plays tush push into the end zone. And now back to the Giants and Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo. All right, they're a couple of rookies in New York, the Big Apple, so they're making some noise. And Scadaboo's a cool story, and he's built like a brick house. But the Commanders stopped him easily. And maybe that's kind of the big thing with why I'm giving New York no respect here is Washington made New York look awful. And I don't think that Jackson Dart would have made that big of a difference if he had played in that game rather than Russell Wilson. And then you got to say, all right, well, they didn't look good against us. But then the Giants put up like 40 on the Cowboys and still lost. And then they beat the Eagles. And the wacky NFC East is back to being wacky. Philadelphia, that is the team to me that's been the most disappointing through six games, and yet their record has them at the top. Washington, through 5 weeks, has been the most inconsistent team. At times, we look like division champions. At times, we don't look like a playoff team. I'm hoping that we're on the up and up now, but Washington, you have to say, has been the most inconsistent team in our division. I think Dallas has had the best offense and the best quarterback, and it's not even close. As much as I was clowning on Dak Prescott when his hamstring ripped off the bone, I thought there would be no more of him eating turkey legs on the sidelines against the Commanders. Well, he's playing at an MVP level right now. I doubt it'll last, but it certainly scares me. It really does. I'm going to give Dak and Dallas, that offense, a ton of credit. And then the Giants, like, all right, that's the best vibes I think I've ever seen for a 2-4 football team maybe ever, right? I mean, I've got friends that are New York fans. They're losing their minds right now about the two. And everybody that was a Giants fan stayed up late to watch the postgame for Thursday Night Football. Hear about Jackson Dart and his Star Wars knowledge. Oh, is he the Return of the Jedi? I really don't think so. There's a 2-4 football team. So here's how I feel like the NFC East is going to finish. The Giants are a nice story. I still have them at the bottom of the division. I can see them getting to 8, maybe 9 wins. Dallas looks like a 10-win football team. I'm putting them in, penciling them in as double digits. Philadelphia, as much as that was awful on Thursday, and they're having player zoning meetings, and that is the only team that can beat the Philadelphia Eagles right now, seems like the Philadelphia Eagles beating themselves, and I can see Nick Sirianni losing the locker room. But I'm going to say this, they will win at least 10 games. Because what have they done since he took over? They've won at least 10 games. Washington is on a pace right now to get to 10 wins. And so I think the Giants will be at like 8. Washington, Dallas, and Philly will be hovering right around 9 or 10 with 2 or 3 to go. And it will come down to who's going to win these divisional games to end the season. With Washington playing December 14th at the New York Giants. Come home December 20th, Philadelphia, Christmas, Cowboys, and then at Philadelphia to close out the season. Those four games, I think, are going to decide who wins this division, who's a playoff team, and whose season ends before the postseason. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Wes. Wes is running the ones and twos. If you want to chime in, it's easy. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. A couple more things about, you know, that Thursday night football game and why I'm just way more giving credit to the Eagles being a team that beat themselves than the Giants actually going out and winning a game. Jalen Hurts threw for almost 100 more yards than Jackson Dart. Almost 100 more yards than Jackson Dart. He had the interception that ended up being the killer. But, like, I just was not that impressed about Jackson Dart throwing a pass that was nearly intercepted, and then Wandale Robinson kind of sneaks down the sideline 35 yards for a touchdown. All right? maybe I'm sounding like a hater, but to me, that was like a whole night of wackiness and a little bit of luck for sure, and the fact that the Eagles looked awful in that second half. I mean, they couldn't do anything in the third and fourth quarter there. They couldn't do anything. Third quarter, three plays punt, four plays punt, three plays punt, four plays interception, seven plays fumble. All right, I think the Giants have a solid defense. I definitely think the Giants have a solid defense. I really don't think that you look at their schedule here. All right, I don't see them winning against the Broncos this weekend. They're going to go to the Link and get demolished because Philly will get revenge on them in 15 days. Watch that. The 49ers are better. They're not going to win that game. Maybe they win at Chicago. And so, like, it's just funny how New York is such a big market and the NFL is so week by week that the team that was 2-3 and had already changed their quarterback and their coach is on the hot seat, you know, they get one win, go from what, 1-4 to 2-4, and now they think that they've got something there. I just really doubt it. I do. I think Scataboo's a cool player. I right now would not take him over Bill, right? And he was drafted three rounds ahead of him. That's just how I honestly feel. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. I am still buzzing from last week's win because it was just such an emotional release. Jaden's back, looking like the rookie of the year in that form again, and it was fantastic. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app downloaded today for free anywhere you get your apps at. You could tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Call in 1-800-636-1067. So I just went around the NFC East, and with the Eagles dropping that game Thursday night, it gives Washington a real opportunity and something they hopefully can take advantage of. Like I said, last week was such an emotional release. It was like, yes, Jaden's back and he's playing well. Our defense created a turnover and then they got another one. Our special teams are playing well. So That was so big right there. It feels like it's been a roller coaster of a season. But hopefully we've created some momentum, right, with our successful trip out west. That, you know, the showing up early certainly helped. And they did recreate a bit of the magic from last year's Cincinnati to Arizona road trip. Now we got to come home and deliver the goods, put together our first win streak of the 2025 season. How do they do that? I think we got to keep playing complimentary football. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I did get a few tweets during the break there I wanted to get to. G from the shop says, we are winning the division. Division games are different. The Giants are going to look terrible next game. Willis tweets me, AWOD, with the Eagles having problems offensively, Washington has an opportunity to make a move in the division and in the conference if they can handle their business. Statement game on Monday night. Statement game on Monday night. Look, when the schedule came out, I think all of us were in agreement that you have got to win the games against teams that were not playoff teams the previous season. And that is New York Giants, check that box. That is the Vegas Raiders, check that box. And now the Chicago Bears. Well, we got to keep holding serve. We got to keep holding serve at home, winning our home games. Chicago will come to Washington Northwest Stadium for a Monday night football game. I think we have to play to our strengths and go after their weaknesses, which is easier said than done. But if you've been watching right now, Washington is one of the best running football teams in the NFL. They are currently ranked at number one. The Bears, one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL. So that's like our strength against their weakness. Something's got to give. Are we going to be able to run all over them? It should be a heavy dose of Bill. Get Jaden running. I have to keep saying this because it's the AWOD stat to monitor all season long. Commanders now 15-3 when Jaden Daniels runs for 34 or more yards. 34 is the number. 34 more yards, 15-3. I don't want Cliff Kingsbury to go back to his air raid style. We got to run them to the ground and take advantage of this is a team that has shown so far they do not have the ability to stop the run. Make them pack the box and then tape your deep shots, but try to establish the run and stick with it. And then defensively, I don't know about you guys, but all of last week, I even argued with a few callers. I thought the only way to stop Justin Herbert was to blitz all night. Just get after him, move him off his spot, force him to try to throw on the move. And when we sat back in zone, he carved us up. But when we pressured him, he made a couple costly mistakes, like the one on 4th-and-2 where he just felt a little pressure and he threw a 90-mile-an-hour bullet pass at his tight end with through his hands. And they missed an easy 4th-and-2 because that guy was open, right? So I'm saying the same thing against Caleb Williams. We got to blitz him. Don't let him stand in there and throw the short patterns across the field and carve us up. Get him moving off of his spot. I'm fine with Caleb Williams chucking it downfield. I'm fine with that. I don't want him to have time in the pocket. And I do think with Caleb Williams, from what I've seen, and look, I'm a big Caleb Williams fan. I believe it's going to work for him in the NFL, even though he's probably been one of the worst quarterbacks that was selected last year in the first round. Right? Bo Nix has been better. Michael Penix, you could probably argue, has been better. McCarthy, when he got his shot, right? Of course, Jaden. But, like, I still believe in Caleb Williams. What I don't like is, feels like he's trying to make the home run ball every single play, especially when he gets moved off of his spot. That's when he seems to take more shots downfield. And he's thrown two interceptions already this year in similar situations. I'm blitzing him. I'm sending Bobby Wagner up the middle more times than we have earlier this season when we were at home. I am sending Luvu, getting Von Miller pressure. I feel like if you can move Caleb Williams off the spot, he's going to try to run around scrambling. He might take a 15-yard loss on a sack, which would be awesome, but he also might just chuck it downfield thinking he's got a guy, and that's our chance to create a big turnover and get the interception. This is a Chicago team that has had nearly 14 days rest, so you know they're going to be confident. We have to come in and take that confidence from them and get off to a fast start, which has been easier said than done, but it has been done at home, has not been done on the road so far this season. But like I said earlier, special teams has to stay special. That has been an advantage for Washington. I think the offense, we are all desperate for them to get off to a better start. I know that it's something Cliff is working on weekly with Jaden Daniels, and it shouldn't be this difficult for him because he's so good, but he just struggles right now in these first 15 scripted plays. We have now gone 3 and out 3 times on 3 road games. 3 and out. Now, one of those was Marcus Mariota. I get that. But it's still Cliff calling the plays. And so whatever they need to do to get Jaden going quicker in this game, that has to happen. I look at the way Matt LaFleur got things going on Thursday night for his young quarterback, Jordan Love, with a couple of motion concepts, quick 5-yard outs. It was like pitch and catch. And as Tom Brady said, see the ball go through the rim. And Jaden Daniels loves basketball, and he connected with Luke McCaffrey, and it was like once he saw that pass hit, it was like he saw a free throw go through the rim, and all of a sudden he was himself again. We got to do that earlier. We got to do that earlier to get him going and get him into a rhythm. And then I feel like I got to keep saying this every week because it's been an issue under Dan Quinn, penalties. We have to limit the penalties. Have to limit the penalties. If it weren't for the Chargers screwing themselves, that could have been a different outcome. If they had not run into the punter, if they had not roughed the punter, they might have won that game. They would have been up 17-7. They made the big mistakes. We have to limit the penalties and, of course, the turnovers. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. I wanted to give props to the second-year guys that stepped up, because if you listen to this show, you know I've been calling for that. Johnny Newton, great game. He was involved in really both of the big plays there that changed the game for Washington. The tip pass that lands into Mikey Sainristil. He was able to get into the face of our quarterback, Justin Herbert. I just think that they had a plan in place for Newton that made him the wrecking ball that he was at times last year and in college. And it's not by asking him to do too much. And maybe we should have, you know, maybe I should have calmed down a little bit and waited for him to get his opportunity here. But Javon Kinlaw came in, and Dron Payne's on a contract year, and it was like Johnny Newton was the forgotten man. He wasn't even getting enough snaps to make an impact, right? He finally got that, and we definitely felt his impact. Don't look now, but Mikey Sainristil's got two interceptions in a row. He's got his an interception streak for the second-year star out of Michigan, who has made his mistakes, right? He jumped offside on the field goal. He has had, a pass interference penalty. He's been beat at times in the Atlanta Falcons game. But he's been in the right spot at the right time two games in a row, and he's just had a knack of that since he came into the National Football League. Luke McCaffrey, it was two catches the week before. All right, Luke's arrived. And then one catch for 50 yards. All hail Luke. Luke Skywalker. I want more production from him, but somebody said this to me this week, and I think it made a lot of sense. It really resonated with me. This guy, Luke McCaffrey, used his opportunity in special teams to create confidence to then go out there and make plays on offense. Ever since he had that big return, he's really started to feel good, and that's what I'm saying about special teams being special. Deebo Samuel and Luke McCaffrey are top 10 right now in average kickoff return yards. It has been a difference maker in terms of where we start our drives. Jaden Daniels, second-year guy to step up after he completed that pass to Luke McCaffrey, right? He started to look like the rookie of the year once again. And then Ben Sennett. I'm going to give him credit because I'm not sure how many other people are giving him credit. I thought his blocking in that Chargers game really did help spring Bill, really did help set up the different, you know, lanes of attack for us to rush through. He has got the quickness to kind of pull to the other side and get a good block in. And look, this is what we wanted from him, right? Is to come in here and, all right, let's show what you got as a blocking tight end, and then you'll get your opportunity. But you have to earn that trust from the coaching staff that they can trust you to be out there blocking. And so I think that was some good development for Ben Sennett. I still want to see him more. I want to see that baby Gronk that we saw from him in that one preseason game. But I think it was a positive step forward. And that I just named five second-year guys that stepped up, and I'm probably missing a few because it just felt like every second-year guy stepped up. That game had Adam Peters' draft fingerprints all over it. It was terrific to see. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. What are you expecting from Jaden Daniels on Monday Night Football? Has he been unleashed after that deep pass that he connected on with Luke McCaffrey? 1-800-636-1067. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here in the nation's capital. It is Saturday, October 11th, just after 9:30 a.m. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app, getting you prepared for Monday Night Football, a primetime battle at Northwest Stadium for Washington, who's yet to lose at home this season. And really, this is the best rushing offense against one of the worst rushing defenses. This is a team that has been able to create turnovers in the last few weeks in Washington against a Chicago team that is turnover prone. And then, look, it's your quarterback matchup. It's your number one overall pick against number two overall pick. And the number one overall pick happens to hail from the DMV against the number two overall pick, both who are Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, it's just going to be a fantastic matchup here. There's a reason this was pushed Monday Night Football when the schedule came out here, because people knew everyone's going to want to watch these pair of quarterbacks face off against each other. Interesting quarterback battle, maybe more of an interesting head coaching battle. Ben Johnson was the big sexy name of an offensive coordinator that got hired. Well, Cliff Kingsbury is that next sexy name as an offensive coordinator who might get hired to be a head coach. Which offense is able to move the football down the field on Monday night? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Eli in D.C. What's up, Eli?
What's going on, AY? Thanks for taking my call, man.
How you doing?
Matt, I'm excellent, man. Thanks. Appreciate you, man. I expect Jaden to just look more comfortable. I find that when he has opportunity to look at the tape and certain things, because he's such a student of the game, there's certain things that he's going to extract that he's going to be able to use. And I think this was a great game. Like you touched on, Adam Peters, his fingerprint of the investment. This is what you want to see. Every week you aren't guaranteed to have – you're only as good as your depth, and you're only as good as you're able to recruit in certain situations. You need to have your quarterback before, you know, you have – before it's too late. He needs to understand who is on his team and situationally what he can get from certain guys. And you can only know that from in-game reps. And we haven't had Lane and we haven't had McCaffrey and certain guys long enough to know how they are going to respond in certain situations. That can only come through time. So I love the investment. It makes me feel confident, just like of somebody or a farmer or someone who is good at investing. Once they make their investment decision, they are just waiting for the return, because they say, I know as a farmer, I plant good seeds, and all I have to do is just wait for the return. You know, I don't have to go digging stuff up, and I don't have to go. And I think Washington has now shown me that they have a process and they have the time and space and the coaching to be able to develop their investment over time. So you can have a chance to see who's really on your team. That deep ball to Luke McCaffrey situationally may change Luke into a different guy. He may say, I caught that pass. You know, certain, you have to have your welcome to the NFL moment. And I just think, you know, with Zach Ertz and certain things that we had to keep this team together, we just didn't really have enough young guys in our system long enough to put them in a situation to have this opportunity. So now just to sit back, you see Lane take a 90-yard to a touch. That's what, those are the investments that you decided, that's what you wanted to see. And I know Adam Peters has to feel good about that. Man, I'm getting my returns. Debo Samuels looks great. All the returns, I know he didn't get drafted this year, but all of the returns that they've done, Kinlaw, look at all of the things that they're able to do and just the immediate return. Yeah. Everybody has been paying dividends. I'm comfortable. Now I can wait for Terry with a little bit more comfortability. Now I'm not panicking because the investments are there. When you have the investments and people are making the plays, you kind of say, well, you know, I can wait another week. Bill's turning up. There's other points of emphasis that are moving around Terry, that are moving around JD5's, you know, progress. This thing has to be coupled together. I would hate for JD to be this great guy. He has no one to throw the ball to. A lot of these guys, they aren't guaranteed to be here in a few years. So these are the times, the investments. Luke McCaffrey, these are the investments that needed to be made. Yeah. So just relax. Let them do what they do. But I'm excited. I think he's going to be able to throw the ball all over the yard. It's almost like Jaden has that fadeaway. That was almost like a fadeaway Michael Jordan kind of like jumper. He was able to fade away and throw that ball to Debo. I said, oh, yeah, there you go. That's the guy.
He was looking like himself again. Good call, Eli. And I love what you're saying about planting the seeds, because there were callers that were upset with what we were getting in return from our draft picks. Like, obviously, Jaden was terrific. Right, but I know people wanted more from Luke, wanted more from Ben Sennett. I wanted more from Johnny Newton. I wanted more from Mikey Sainer still. But all of these guys are starting to come together, and I think that was a really good point there, like about the investments that Adam Peters has made starting to pay off here. And you're putting a team together that, as much as everybody talked about, it's the oldest roster in football. Look who's making plays. Luke McCaffrey, young. Bill, young. Jalen Lane, young. Jaden Daniels, young. Mikey Sanders, still young. The young guys are starting to show up here, as maybe the older guys are, I don't want to say falling off the cliff, but not giving us the production that we had hoped. Like, from Zach Ertz, I thought we would get more from him this year. We just haven't gotten that yet. But luckily, we've had other guys kind of grow into that role. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What's up, Lou?
What's going on, A-Wad? How you doing?
Dude, I'm still celebrating the win from last week, man. I mean, our first road victory felt so good.
Yes, indeed, man. We finally, got it together. Everything we kind of touched on a week ago, you know, getting pressure from the defensive end side of the ball. And, they made plays, and we need consistency. They need to do that this coming Monday and keep building on that. And, hopefully they could one thing I would ask Adam to do is probably get like a defensive end and then and maybe a tight end for JD, because we need, Zach, he make those 10-yard, 15 maybe, but the most, but we ain't got no, as far as the tight end goes, there's no really, you got Ben Sennett. I mean, he's a blocking tight end. I mean, he could run, but it seemed like I'm not sure what they, I don't know why they're not using him as far, because, his highlight in college, it was something else. So, but we need a explosive play from the tight end side of the ball. The receiver.
I think give it time. I think, Lou, give it time, man. Let him work into it. Like, it's a tough position to learn. Like you said, they're trying to get him to master the blocking side of the thing. But I like what you said in terms of, all right, we got a great win. Consistency is the next big thing here, right? We need to consistently see all these second-year guys step up.
Exactly, yeah. We just need to keep building on this. And, just like Jaden said, man, what happened a year ago, that's a year ago, man. That's in the past. And we care about the game on Monday. And I hope they have that kind of mentality to everybody else and come ready to play on Monday, because Chicago will. And, prime time is always the underdog, always going to come to play. So we got to be ready and go out there and get this dub and build on that and keep it moving. And, that's pretty much it, man. Just, keep getting that pressure from the defensive side of the ball. And especially at the DN, they came out there on Sunday, even though the first two drive with, LA, they was just marching. I mean, it seemed like we couldn't stop them, but we got it together, and hopefully they could, do the same thing this coming Monday, make Caleb uncomfortable. Yeah. Caleb is he reminded me, if I give you an NBA player, because Big L was talking about, who's a cop, or is he like something? No, he's not. He will never be Jaden, and he's like Markelle Fultz, man. He's just one of those guys. He might not be in the league. after maybe 5-6 years. I could see him doing a fashion runaway type of thing. That's what Caleb is, man. A guy wear a purse and paint his nails. That's not accepted in the locker room, man. Get the hell up out of here. But, you know, we got the guy. We got JD, man. We got our savior. So, yeah, man, that's what I wanted to say. Appreciate you, AWOT.
Yep, good hearing from you. I certainly do want Jaden to outdo Caleb Williams once again. But, you know, to be honest with you guys, and I think we all should look back at Jaden Daniels' start to his sophomore year, he didn't look like himself, and he got hurt 2 games into the season. He wasn't himself. I kind of blame the factors. Like, number one, dude didn't have his number one wide receiver all of training camp. He's throwing the ball to Chris Moore, and then the season gets here. Come on. I credit the defensive lines we played to start the season. Like the Packers and I think the Giants have an amazing front. And I blame Cliff Kingsbury a little bit. I think he was like, all right, I've got the NFL's rookie of the year. I can really step it up a notch here. And maybe he put too much on his plate right away. And you didn't let him get comfortable and let him get in rhythm. And then Jaden actually had the opportunity. It might have been a blessing in disguise to watch a few games while recovering. And I kind of think, number one, it helped him. Number two, more fuel to the fire. He was pissed off. If you heard of the press conference, he didn't want to miss one game. He got a different perspective, and he saw how simple passes Marcus Mariota were making were effective. Then he connected on a deep ball to Luke McCaffrey, and it was like he got his swagger back. The second that pass hit, the rest of the game was vintage rookie of the year, Jaden Daniels. He looked like himself. He was balling. He was great in time. Like the caller said, it was a fadeaway jump shot, that throw to Deebo Samuel. He was making great throws and making it look easy on offense. He was playing like a veteran. He's, you know, a student of the game, and we saw him get better there in the second half of that game, and we saw him get better in the second half of his rookie year. And I do just think that pass to Luke McCaffrey really did open things up and get him going, and I'm excited to see him build off of that after another full week of practice. And really what I hope will be a good game plan by Cliff Kingsbury. I think it's going to be heavy in the run, but I think they will take their shots downfield to try to prevent the Bears from loading the box. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. In Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You know, last Sunday at about, what was that, like 5:30? It felt like we got our quarterback back after he connected with Luke McCaffrey. And it was just one pass, one play, 50 yards, and it happened to come after what was probably the worst series of Dan Quinn's tenure in Washington, where they threw the ball 3 times from inside the 5-yard line, forced their damn punter to punt from the end zone, and had it returned for a touchdown. But thank goodness that there was laundry on the field and we got another opportunity, because that first play, Jaden went deep to Luke McCaffrey. And I think it was Jaden was getting interviewed this week about Luke, and he talked about how he thinks like a quarterback at times. And that made me think, like, they were on the same page that play. And that's what a quarterback would think, especially one that's turned wide receiver. You shouldn't have even had the ball back. All right, you get one more chance here. It's first down. Let's take a deep shot, right? They saw that they were in quartered covers there. They felt like that was something in practice that they had worked on, that they could take a deep shot in, and it cleared out for Luke. And, I mean, you could just, when you watch the replay, every step he took of that route, it was like he knew the ball was coming to him. And Jaden just dropped it into a bucket, terrific catch, and he saw the ball go through the rim, just like Tom Brady said. And it felt like at that point there, we got our quarterback back. And he was cruising after that. It was so great to see. How do you think Jaden's going to play on Monday Night Football in his second duel against the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams? Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, you're on the fan. What's up, dude? Mike, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Just wanted to say first and foremost, congrats on your house. I heard you on the Junkies, man. Congrats. It's really
Thank
cool
you.
News for you, brother.
Appreciate
you deserve
that,
it.
Man.
You're awesome. Yeah, of course. So just a couple of quick points, man. I must have gone up to get something to eat. I completely missed that play with McCaffrey. I kicked myself for sure. But that, from what I hear, that was a game changer. It obviously was. By the way, McCaffrey is coming into his zone. I'm actually thrilled for him, and I'm glad that they kept him. He's going to do well. Regarding your question, I think Jaden's going to have a lights-out game. He looked fantastic. The old Jaden is back, which we're all thrilled about. You know what I noticed, Adam, too? He had a fight. Like, he had this – he's usually so, you know, he's carefree, smiling, and he's, you know, talking with the other team. He was angry a few plays, and I was like, no, that's what I want to see. And when he did that – when he got serious, he just was nailing it. I don't know if that had anything to do with how well he played, but I loved his attitude. I loved his play. I think he's going to do really phenomenal this Monday.
I mean, Mike, it's really interesting the way, like, this season has played out for him. It's almost like he's put a chip on his shoulder from the fact that he got hurt. Like, he is playing, like, a little bit angry.
No, he is. That's what I've always wanted to see from him. Look, I want him to have a good time, but this is Smash Mouth, man. I hate to say it, but the other guys, when he's laughing and trying to talk to him and he's patting him on the butt, they're probably just going, "Dude, we're gonna rip your head. We're trying to rip your head off." They respect him, but they're like, "I don't know why you're doing that, brother. Get angry, get out there." And I saw that fire, and he just was nailing it, dude. From everything, from the way he ran, from the way he threw the ball. And if you notice, his passes are better. He's not overthrowing. It just takes him a few games to get in sync. I don't know why, but he needs to change that if he wants to become a top tier quarterback in the future. You really have to be consistent. And if we stay consistent, if we win this and we stay consistent, I'm feeling great about the year, dude, without question, brother.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I want on Monday night, is the consistency.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Get the defense to create another turnover, the offense to be able to run and throw the ball. But the key is Jaden Daniels' legs here. 8 carries, 39 yards. He had a 12-yard carry that created a first down.
Yeah.
And it's just like the defense then has to think about him running. And it gives him more time in the pocket to find his receivers.
Yeah.
I also thought that was maybe the best game plan Cliff has had yet this season.
Brilliant, man. He's the same way, isn't he? It takes him a few games to really get into his stride, but when he does, he's absolutely genius. Another thing that I was just amazed about is, I think you brought it up, was Bill, the running back. He just doesn't stop turning his legs. You know, I wish Robinson nothing but all the best, but he would run, he would hit a few people, and he would just kind of give up and just fall to the ground or whatever, or he would stutter step. Bill is the complete opposite, and that's what we needed for sure. He just sits such a breath of fresh air, you know? I'm excited, brother.
Absolutely,
yeah,
good call.
Thank you for taking my call, dude.
Yep, appreciate you chiming in. Everybody's talking about Bill, so let's talk about this for a second here. He's awesome, right? It's so cool when you have a running back that is taking the league by storm like that. I mean, this team just does this, right? I mean, it's Alfred Morris all over again, it feels like. Now, everybody wants to give Bill an NFL comparison. I honestly think he's just his own guy. He's his own style. I mean, first off, he's a one-namer. He's Bill. He's Cher. He's Prince. He's Seal. He's our Bill. He's a one-name dude. That's already unique. But then you look at his running style, and it's almost like he's a video game character that has been created to have all the moves of the legends. So the first thing I say is, I think he hits the corner and beats defenders to the pylon like he's LaDainian Tomlinson. During my lifetime, LaDainian Tomlinson's been the best running back I've ever seen at sniffing out the end zone. I mean, just so good at sniffing out the end zone. And of course, he's got like an insane amount of touchdowns because of that, right? But it was just, when I watched him play, all right, what does he have, 145 touchdowns in his career? LaDainian Tomlinson, you could do a little handoff to him, a pitch to him, or just running up the middle, and it's like he would bait you inside and then beat everybody to the outside. And we saw that from Bill twice, right? We saw that from Bill twice in one game where, All right, I don't know that the play design was for him to bust it outside, but he saw an opportunity, and he just simply beat the defender to the pylon. He's got speed like that to do so. And then you got to talk about the jump cut. He's got a little LeSean McCoy or Bijan Robinson in him with these jump cuts there where he can kind of hop around. And then a burst of speed like he's Alvin Kamara. He's got a little bit of everyone. I mean, I had a caller say he's looked like a smaller Clinton Portis at times. He's so unique. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but because running back's the shortest lifespan in the NFL, but he could lead us to a division championship like rookie Alfred Morris did. And I would not be shocked. The way he's playing, it's been unreal. And once again, Adam Peters, all right? This is what a good GM looks like. Thank God Josh Harris decided to hire a competent GM. And so we didn't have to go through the same old shenanigans with Dan Snyder. Because this should have been my entire lifetime. The last 25 years, it should have been this, right? You draft, you develop, and then you win games because of that. And we talked a whole segment about the second-year guys. Now, how about some of the rookies, like Bill, that are stepping up? Jalen Lane stepping up here. Trey Amos stepping up. Adam Peters, man. This is what happens when you have a good scouting department. I don't even understand how they scouted a kid that played one game of college. That's genius right there. I mean, they must have had tapes on him from the year before, or maybe they just had an Arizona connection, right? Like, I don't know what it was, but they knew they had a stud, and there's a reason they traded Brian Robinson Jr., and there's a reason they knew they could slide him in there and eventually give him all the carries, and he's taking him to the house. It's been awesome. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.